My passage begins on page 102 of Paul Beatty's White Boy Shuffle. Nothing goes faster than 15 bullets. In need of another fix, we stop by Letty's, Psycho Loco's girlfriend, for more ammunition. Hopping back into the car with a sly look on his face, Psycho Loco showed us a handful of bullets and put the car in gear. As he sped away, he announced with a hint of contriteness in his voice. You should have seen the look on the old girl's face. Where you going? Like I know. Riding in the back seat of the car, I felt as if I were circling the neighborhood on some R-rated carousel. Familiar landmarks blurred into the sunrise, the stupid merry-go-round music refusing to go away. When I arrived home, I planted the metal Chevtek flag in the crabgrass, threw up on my mother's lone flowering rosebush, and tried to tear a set of unwanted chevrons from my memory. Gunner, Pumpkin's funeral is at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. I'll be there. I slammed the front door a little too loudly, distracting my mother from her morning eggs and crossword puzzle. Gunner, where you been? Shooting up the neighborhood, Ma. I'm becoming so black it's a shame. I wanted to explain to her that living out there was like being in a never-ending log rolling contest. You never asked why the log was rolling or who was rolling the log. You just spread your arms and kept your feet moving, doing your best not to fall off. Spent all your time trying to anticipate how fast and in what direction the log would spin next. I wanted to take a seat next to my mother and use this lumberjack metaphor to express how tired I was. I wanted to chew my runny eggs and talk with my mouth full, tell her how much I missed the calm equipoise of my old life, but how I had grown accustomed to running in place, knowing nothing mattered as long as I kept moving. I wanted to say these things to her, but my breath smelled like wet dog shit with a hint of sulfur. That morning, I dreamed of chasing down a brown-haired white boy down a flight of stairs and into the normally busy but now empty intersection. The boy and I used to be friends, but he had wronged me somehow, though I couldn't say exactly how, and he and I both knew that the transgression merited death. The streets looked as if they'd been evacuated because of a nuclear threat or a hurricane gathering momentum off the coast. I chased the boy past a row of abandoned cars and caught him in the middle of the street under a traffic light stanchion that was swaying wildly in the wind. I shot him twice in the chest, and he fell in the crosswalk. When I inspected the body, there were no bullet wounds, no blood, just two frayed holes in his yellow Oxford shirt. Bending down, gun in hand, I opened his closed eyes as the noise of sirens and bystanders filled the streets. Was I hero or criminal? Psycho Loco ran over and wrested the gun from my hands, saying that he'd take the fall so I could go to college. I awoke recalling that it hadn't been long ago when I was the only black person in my dreams. Now I was shooting white kids in the streets.